Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well today. I hope we get to see more and more of you at the church in the future. But last week I told you as a part of our re-entry plan, we're trying to keep the sermons down to 25 minutes. And if you were keeping track last week, you saw that I failed miserably. So I'm going to try to do better this week. So let's go ahead and jump right in. If you have a Bible with you this morning, you could open up to Matthew chapter 6. It's where we're going to be studying again today. Matthew chapter 6, where we are continuing our study in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And last week, Jesus said this, "Do not be anxious about your life." And the reason that we're not supposed to be anxious is because God is in control of everything and He loves us more than anything. So He will provide for every single one of our needs, even the needs that we don't even know that we need yet. And because of that, Jesus says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the fact that Jesus has to tell us this implies that we are not always doing this. The fact that Jesus tells us that we have to seek first the kingdom of God means that sometimes people like us, the way that we live our lives, sometimes we are seeking the things of God second or third or fourth or fifth, but not always first. So if Jesus is commanding us or reminding us that we need to seek first the things of God, then what are some of the things that we often seek ahead of the things of God? What are some of the things that Jesus might be thinking about when He tells us that we need to seek first the kingdom of God? Well, we're in luck because Jesus actually tells us some of the things that we often seek first instead of the things of God. Our passage today is in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. I know that there are many at the building today, so if you are there, will you stand for the reading of Scripture? And if you're at home and you want to stand for the reading of Scripture, please go ahead and join us. But in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." That is our passage for this morning. You may be seated. So what is it that Jesus says that we often seek first instead of the kingdom of God? Money. Wait, this is a trap. The little pastor is going to talk about money today. Hey, these aren't my words. These are Jesus' words. And Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money. And let me go ahead and tell you how people like us try to avoid the conversation that Jesus is trying to start here. If you're anything like me, I start to think, hey, Jesus, it's kind of hard to serve money when you don't have it, right? Because when it comes to money, there aren't very many people who think that they have more than enough of it. The people that have more than enough of money, those are rich people. And I am not a rich person, right? Not many of us would consider ourselves to be rich. Rich people are those other people from the other neighborhoods, from the other townships that drive the other kinds of car. But we, on the other hand, we are just hardworking people who are just trying to get by, right? I read a New York Times article that said that the definition of rich changes with income. They surveyed a whole bunch of people from different income brackets and asked them how much money does one have to make before they're considered to be rich. And what they found is that every person from every income bracket pointed to the bracket above them and said that they're rich. Even the people at the top pointed to somebody that they thought was richer than they were. Because you see, the funny thing about being rich is that it's a moving target. And the definition of rich changes from person to person. Yeah, when it comes to being rich, we all consider somebody somewhere else to be rich, but not us. But that also means that somebody somewhere else considers you to be rich. Have you ever flipped on the television and seen how some people live in other parts of the world? Well, the fact that you flipped on a television to see that means that they probably look at you and think that you're rich. So the truth is that compared to somebody somewhere, when it comes to money, somebody somewhere else looks at us and thinks that we're rich. It looks at us and thinks that when it comes to money, we have more than enough. And there's something about money that can get in the way of us seeking first the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. But it's not money that's the problem. Maybe you've heard the verse in the Bible, money is the root of all evil. Well, the actual verse in the Bible says this, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. You see the difference? It's not money that's the problem, it's the love of money. And here's the thing that makes money so tricky. You can love money without having any of it. Take a look at the sentences before and after this verse about the love of money. And what you see is that we're not talking about rich people here. It says that those who desire to be rich. In the later verse, it says this craving to be rich. So what we're talking about here is not rich people. It's people who desire to be rich. And you can desire to have money and crave for money without having a single penny at all. So it's not the rich people that need to hear this money talk from Jesus. It's all people. Because when it comes to money, whether we have it, money can still have us. And look at some of the things that the Bible tells us that the love of money can bring about in our lives. It says it can bring all kinds of evils, including things like these. We could fall into temptations. It can lead us into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. It even calls the love of money a snare. So the trap is not me talking about money. The real trap is if we don't talk about money. Because according to the Bible, the love of money is a serious thing. So serious that it says that through this craving, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, nobody wants this to be the description of their life and of their faith. So we should probably do something about money before money can do this to us. And a lot of times, the work that needs to be done needs to happen before we even get any money at all. These days, with the coronavirus, we are have this newfound understanding of precautions. I was just telling somebody the other day that I was watching a movie and I was appalled at what I was seeing in the movie about things that didn't bother me when I watched the same movie before. I'd watch the movie and think, why are they standing so close to each other? Where's the hand sanitizer? Can't you cough into your elbow? Yeah, there was even a scene where somebody touched a donut and then put it right back into the box of donuts, didn't even eat it. And I thought, barbarians, right? Why? Because we're all about precautions now. And a precaution is being cautious in advance, before something happens. It wouldn't make any sense to start washing your hands and social distancing after you got the coronavirus. That would be too late. But that's what we do with money. We tell ourselves, you know what? I will be cautious with my money when I get some, or when I get some more, or after I pay this off, or after I invest in that, or, you know, we always have an excuse for it. But what did we tell ourselves? What did we learn about ourselves and our own perception of our money before? It's a moving target. If we wait to be cautious about our money until we think that we need to, it'll be too late. Because one of the precautions that Jesus wants us to take about money is this. In verse 22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What? What in the world is Jesus talking about here? Did you notice this verse when we read it for our passage today? It doesn't seem to fit with the other verses in this section. Let me show you. Jesus starts off by comparing the treasure on earth versus the treasure in heaven. And then he ends by telling us that we can't serve two masters. We can't serve both God and money. And then in between, talking about treasure and money, we find this weird verse about good eyes and bad eyes. What is that about? Well, this isn't the only place that Jesus talks about money and bad eyes. Maybe you remember a parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 20. We call it the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And this parable is about this wealthy landowner who has a vineyard, and he goes and he hires some laborers to work in his vineyard for the day. And he hires a couple of guys very early in the morning, and he agrees to pay them a denarius to work in his vineyard for the day. And a denarius was a lot more than these guys were used to getting, so they were pumped at the opportunity. And then the landowner goes back a couple hours later and hires some more workers to come back to his vineyard. And then he does the same thing at noon and then 3 o'clock. And then he even goes at 5 o'clock and hires some people to work the last hour at his vineyard. And then when 6 o'clock rolls around and the work day's over and it's time to get paid, this landowner gave every single person a denarius. He paid everybody a full day's wage, even the people who weren't there for a full day. Now, if you were one of the guys who got hired at 5 p.m. and then only worked for an hour, you might be crying tears of joy because you spent the whole day not getting any work, thinking there is no way that I'm going to be able to put food on the table today. And then at the last minute, this landowner shows up and he pays you a whole day's wage. Best boss ever. The same would be true of the other partial workday guys. But the guys who worked the whole day, the guys who were hired first thing in the morning, it says that when this landowner gave them their denarius, it says upon receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house. And in response to their saltiness, the landowner said, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" But the exact wording that Jesus uses when he tells this story is this: "Or is your eye bad because I am good?" Now, remember, in the story, when these guys got hired at the beginning of the day and they were told that they were going to get a denarius, they were pumped. They were ecstatic. They were grateful because a denarius was way more than they usually got. And because of this, they probably spent the entire day whistling while they worked. And then all of a sudden, all that joy, all that gratitude, all that contentment was replaced with grumbling, with ungratefulness, with discontentment. Why? What changed? It's the exact same amount of money that they agreed to at the beginning of the morning. But now, because of what they saw the other people getting, now all of a sudden, it's not enough. At the beginning of the day, a denarius was more than enough. And then just a couple of hours later, it was not enough. They desired more. And all of that change, it all happened in the blink of an eye. It all happened in the blink of a bad eye. You see, the thing that Jesus is warning us about money is that money has the potential to turn good eyes into bad eyes. It can change us from seeing something as more than enough to seeing that very same thing as no longer enough. We have this saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure. You heard this before? It's the same kind of thing. I buy something, and then for whatever reason, I no longer think that it's enough for me, so much so that I don't even want it in my house anymore. So I take it out to the curb, and I put it in my trash. And then somebody else drives by and thinks, you know, I want that. I want that so much that I'm going to stop my car. I'm going to get out. I'm going to rummage through that person's garbage, and I'm going to take it home with me. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Two people can look at the same exact thing with different eyes. And Jesus says, oh, one of the dangerous things about money is that it can change your eye. It can change the way that you see things. But here's the thing about having a bad eye. You won't know if you have one, because that's all you can see. When I was 5 years old, I got glasses for the first time. But before that, I didn't know that I couldn't see. I just thought that the whole world was blurry. My parents tell me that when I got home from the doctor with my new glasses, I stopped at our house and said, "Look, we have trees at our house. Who knew?" In the same way, the love of money can give us bad eyes, but we won't know it. I read a quote that said, one of the first signs of greed is not thinking that you're greedy. Because you can't see it, you have bad eyes. And when Jesus warns us here about having bad eyes, what he's really warning us about is our heart. In verse 21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And notice he says treasure instead of money here. Because remember, money isn't the problem. It's the love of money. It's the stuff that money can get us, that can lead our hearts astray. Because Jesus is saying that our heart will follow whatever it is that we treasure. So how we deal with our treasure is actually a heart issue. And Jesus is asking us to consider where we want our hearts to end up. Because where you want your heart to end up is important. Because if your heart's going to follow what you treasure, then people like us better learn to treasure the things that'll lead our hearts in the right direction. And we better learn how to handle the treasures that we do have in such a way where we can have them without them having us. In regard to treasuring the right things, Jesus makes a comparison between the treasures on earth and the treasures in heaven. And the point of this comparison is that earthly treasures don't last. They're temporary. That's why he says this about earthly treasures, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. When it comes to clothes, fancy garments and things like that, they wear out or they get eaten by moths because they're temporary. They're not lasting. And then precious metals are susceptible to rust and corrosion because they're temporary. They won't last. And then even if you bought the most durable clothing and you bought the most rust-resistant metals, somebody can still come in and steal it from you. Because everything that we treasure on earth is temporary in some way. But Jesus says that there are treasures in heaven that are lasting. They will not fade away, they will not wear out, they will not be destroyed, and they cannot be stolen from you. Jesus' comparison here, it begs the question, which one are you going to invest in? The temporary treasures of earth or the permanent treasures in heaven? And the answer to that question is pretty obvious, right? Why would you ever invest in the temporary thing? My buddy once won a raffle at a golf outing, and he got to actually choose his prize. There was a fancy golf bag, some nice golf balls, some golf clubs, and then there was this all-expenses golf package. It was a round for four golfers to play at this golf resort, and it was worth $500. So my buddy chose that one because it was the most valuable of all the prizes. Well, shortly after that golf outing, the golf course went out of business, and my buddy was left with a coupon that wasn't worth anything. When we treasure the treasures of this earth more than the treasures of heaven, know this: someday, all of the treasures of earth will go out of business. But rather than having a coupon that isn't worth anything, we could have a heart that doesn't treasure any of the things of God. But Jesus says there's a way to protect ourselves from this outcome. There's a way to guard our hearts from this happening. And the way that we do that is that we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. How do you do that? How do you lay up treasure in heaven? Does PNC Bank do this for us? Because it sounds nice, sounds super spiritual, but how do you actually do this? Well, in 1 Timothy, Paul actually gives us the answer. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says this: "In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves." You see how he's saying the same exact thing as Jesus? Laying up for themselves treasures in heaven. How do you do it? Well, in the verse right before this, Paul says this: "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves." So, how do we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Well, the Bible says, be generous. Being generous is how you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Being generous is how you can have money without money having you. Being generous is how we can safeguard ourselves from losing sight of what's really important and having a bad eye that turns away from God. Because if Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be, then being generous is how we keep our hearts focused towards God. Now, the word generous, it means this. Here's one definition. It says, to be generous is to show a readiness to give more than is expected or necessary. So, when it comes to us, are we generous? Would you consider yourselves ready to give more than expected or more than necessary? Easy, little pastor. I'm not going to tell you who to give your money to. I'm not going to tell you how much money to give. I don't know the answer to any of that. That's between you and God. But if Jesus says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, then one of the ways that we direct our hearts to focus on God, and one of the ways that we protect our hearts from turning a blind eye away from God, is by being generous and laying up treasure in heaven. And what we need to be with our treasure is generous, because that is how we protect ourselves. And the reason that this is a protection is because not being generous with our treasure is dangerous for us. Now, we would never think that that's the case, but we come across verses like this one in Ecclesiastes. It says, there's a grievous evil which I've seen under the sun, riches being hoarded by their owner to his own hurt. Do you see how this verse points out that the one getting hurt by the hoarding is the one hoarding their own riches? How does that happen? How can you hurt yourself by hoarding your own riches? I heard a pastor tell a story about taking his family to the beach for vacation, and his kids were so excited, they were running around collecting all kinds of seashells. But the seashells at the beach were not the nice ones. They were like the crushed up little pieces of seashells. But as they were collecting their seashell pieces, they saw floating in the water a starfish. And the pastor said he saw the look in his son's eye, that look that said, I want that. So he watched as his little boy waded out towards the starfish, and then he came back, and then he waded out a little further, and he came back, and then he finally got the courage to wade all the way out there by the starfish. And he stayed there for a while, and then he came back frustrated. And the pastor asked him, why didn't you get the starfish? And he said, I couldn't pick it up with all these shells in my hands. To which the obvious answer is, if the starfish is what you really want, then you have to let go of the seashells. In the same way, if the kingdom of heaven is what we really want, then we need to open our hands and be more generous with our earthly riches so that we can grasp the heavenly ones. Maybe when it comes to our riches, we need to have open hands so that God can open up our hearts. Maybe that means we need to start praying things like this. Hey, God, I have plans for this money, but if you have other plans, I give it to you because I trust you. I'm ready to give it where you want, even if it's more than expected, even if it's more than necessary, even if it's more than I think I can afford. I trust you. It's yours. If we opened our hands and treasured our treasure like that, our hearts would surely follow. Besides, the same Jesus who challenges us to be generous with our money was generous to us with his life. 2 Corinthians says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Did you see that this morning? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the generous God that you are. That you who had everything sent Jesus to become nothing so that we might become the sons and daughters of God. God, I pray that we would have the same mind of Jesus, that we would not look to our own interests, but to the interests of others, that we would put their needs above ours. God, I pray that you would begin to pry open our hands so that you could open up our hearts. God, I pray this week as we consider these things in whatever way your Holy Spirit might work in us, that you would give us opportunities to be generous, to share with others, to meet the needs of others more than ourselves. But God, I pray that we would do it so that we would know you more, so that we would protect our heart and protect our eye from becoming bad and turning against you, that we might direct our heart, that we might open our hands and grab hold of the riches of the kingdom of God so that our heart might follow. God, we thank you for being the generous God that you are, who would give all things, even his life, so that we could be forgiven of our sins. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.